Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is Jackie from GirlWithNoName.com, and I'm here today with Dave Ruelle, the author of Anabolic Cooking, the cookbook. And it's an awesome cookbook, and if you're interested in burning fat and building muscle, this is a cookbook for you. Lots of great recipes in this, and I'm really, really excited to have Dave on the call today. So welcome, Dave.
Hi, Jackie.
How you doing?
Nice to be. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good to
be here.
Yeah, it's great. I can't wait to get started. Just to get going here, just to explain to everybody sort of who you are, do you want to tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Absolutely. So as you said, my name is Dave Ruelle, and people know me online as the Muscle Cook, just because I am known for my recipes. I am Canadian from Eastern Canada, from Moncton, New Brunswick. I'm currently 28 years old. I've been a fitness professional for a few years now. I'm a competitive bodybuilder as well. What else? So no need to say I'm passionate about fitness, nutrition, and of course cooking. And I've launched Anabolic Cooking last March. And basically, I've helped so far. Multiple thousand people, you know, improve their cooking skills and nutrition in general through this book and through my website. So that's me.
Okay, awesome. So why don't we start off with? I'm really curious to know what your general philosophy is with regards to nutrition. Like, how important is it really when it comes to getting the body of your dreams to get your nutrition right?
Well, the nutrition, it's common, you know, everybody says, you know, nutrition is 80% of your goal, pretty much, like 80% of your results, and it's actually true. You know, well, I don't know about the percentage, but I mean, it's a very important, probably the most important part, you know, of bodybuilding or fat loss, whatever your goal is. But it's the most important part, and probably the part of fitness that people struggle the most with. And more than often, it's because people overcomplicate nutrition a whole lot. You see a whole lot of big philosophies about nutrition, you know, how nutrition should be complicated. You know, should I go no carb? Should I go low carb? Should I go high fat? I go no fat? I mean, should I go high protein? What's the deal with it? And a lot of people overcomplicate things. I have a very simple approach. I mean, I think, you know, you should see the big picture instead of asking yourself too many questions and just failing. And my big philosophy actually is that nutrition for bodybuilding and fitness shouldn't be boring. That's the thing, and that's why most people fail is that they overcomplicate things, and you know they think that it should be, you know, only composed of boiled chicken breast, steamed broccoli, sweet potatoes, and that's it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I think a lot of people.
It's more than that.
I think a lot of people are misinformed that healthy eating needs to be bland tasting eating, and it can't taste good. So they're betrayed by their taste buds, where it's like, well, I love food too much, so I can't give up good tasting food. But do you really have to give up good tasting food?
Absolutely not. So that's my point, and that's what I want to prove, you know, with my websites and my books, that it's actually possible to do it. I'm able to do it. Thousands of people now are able to do it. So why not, you know? And that's something, it's a common, I think, mistake or belief, you know, that people shouldn't have, basically. Like, it can taste good and you can still enjoy food while, you know, stay faithful to your goals of fitness, bodybuilding, or muscle building, or fat loss, whatever they are.
All right. Okay, cool. So give us a quick rundown on the three macros, carbs, protein, and fats. Like, what are they, and, you know, what are some examples of foods that contain them, and how important are they? How important is each sort of macronutrient?
Well, the three macros are important. They're both important, and I never sacrifice, you know, any of these nutrients. Of course, when I go, on fat loss mode, I'm going to reduce my carbohydrates, but I never cut completely any of those three macronutrients. So I'm going to run down, as you asked me, like the different type of macros. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start with protein, which is, of course, the most popular macronutrient, you know, for muscle building or even fat loss. Basically, protein is used by your body to repair damage, you know, damaged muscle. So when you train, you know, it's very important that you get enough protein, or when you train with weights or involved in fitness, bodybuilding, that you have enough protein in your diet. Protein, there's two groups of protein. There's a complete protein and the incomplete protein, all right? The one basically that is important is the complete type of protein because it has all the amino acids that you need to repair these broken down muscles. All right. So basically, I can give you like a few sources of proteins, of my favorite sources of proteins, and where you can get them. One of the favorite and probably one of the best ones is eggs. Okay, so that's one of the best complete protein sources that you can get on the planet. So, for example, the egg whites, because most of the protein of an egg is in the white of the egg, and there's about 4 to 5 grams of protein in one in the white of one egg. So that's, you know, that's a very complete source. Fish also is an excellent source of protein, very complete source of protein. White fish more than likely is very low in fat and pretty much composed of 90% protein. So those are very, very good sources of protein. Other fish, for example, like salmon, are very high in fat, very good fats, but I'm going to like address that later when I'm going to talk about fats. Poultry, you know, chicken, turkey, very, very lean sources of protein, very good. Should be pretty much the staples of your protein intake. Red meat, of course, lean red meat, because red meat can be very high in fats and mostly, you know, animal fats, which are saturated fats. But very lean red meat. My favorite red meat, Jackie, would be is buffalo meat or game meat. I love pretty much any game meat, but buffalo meat is my favorite. You're going to see in my cookbook, I'll probably notice in my cookbook that I cook a lot with buffalo meat. It's a very, it can get be hard to find, not so much here in Canada, but it's a very lean meat. Like, for example, a lean cut of buffalo meat is about 7 to 8% fat, which is very, very lean. Compared, for example, to extra lean, let's say extra lean ground beef, for example, is about 12% fat.
And yeah, I find that buffalo actually tastes quite a bit like beef, too. So if you're looking for a lean alternative and you're a beef lover, buffalo is a great replacement for that.
Absolutely, it's not very different. It doesn't taste much different from beef. Actually, I think it tastes a little bit better. Well, a lot of people might hate me for it, but I love horse meat as well. I have a good supplier actually of horse meat, and it's one of the leanest meat, you know, you can come across here. It's very cheap as well, and I'm a big fan of horse meat. We got moose meat as well down here, Eastern Canada. We're very lucky to have moose. It's a very, very lean meat, very tasty. It's very gamey, but it's a very lean source. So I try, you know, to get most of my red meat from game meat, buffalo meat, or horse meat, for example. But I mean, nothing wrong with beef at all. But beef tends to be a little bit more fat than the game meat or buffalo meat. You can also get protein from dairy products. I try not to get too much protein from dairy products. However, you know, it's still a very legit source of protein. What else can we get for your protein? So that's pretty much it, you know, for what I can think of as my main sources of protein. Of course, you can supplement with protein powder, which is very convenient when, you know, you need a consequent amount of protein in your diet. But as far as solid food, those sources are pretty much my favorite sources. Now we can move to carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. So carbs, yeah, it's an essential nutrient. You know, it's something you can live without carbs, but it's very I wouldn't suppress carbs from your diet. It took a real bashing, you know, from diets such as the Atkins diet or the South Beach diet. Those no carbs diet, I'm not a big fan of it. I would favorize a low carb diet, but no, I'm not a big kind of keto diets that are no carb diets. But carbs, you know, they come from various forms. Again, there's two main types of carbohydrates, simple and complex. Pretty much you should always have complex carbohydrates. The only time you should have simple carbohydrates is post-workout. I can't see any other times where, you know, you should get simple carbohydrates. The simple reason is that simple carbohydrates, which are, you know, sugars and all these types that have a high glycemic index, they're going to spike your insulin levels. Mm-hmm. And basically, you can store, you know, your nutrients in your fat storage, all right? So that's what you don't want. So spiking, basically, pretty much you should avoid spiking your insulin unless you want to build muscle and you consume these simple carbohydrates post-workout. Different sources of complex carbs. Well, complex carbs, brown rice, oatmeal, sweet potatoes, yams, you know, most whole wheat products are complex carbohydrates and the glycemic index, I'm talking about glycemic index, but those people who don't know what the glycemic index is, it's pretty much they rank it in three ways, in three categories, low, medium, and high GI glycemic index. And that's pretty much high glycemic index are foods that are going to spike your insulin and very, very quickly. All right, and those are the type of foods you want to avoid. Medium GI are not bad. Again, they're not going to spike your insulin a whole lot, and they're the kind of food a lot of the foods are in medium GI are medium GI foods, and low GI foods are foods that are not going to spike your insulin at all or not a whole lot. So those are the ones you want to privilege. Simple carbohydrates, you know, you can be found in table sugar. Honey is a simple carbohydrate. Anything sugary, pretty much, is a simple carbohydrate, and that's the ones you want to avoid. Mm-hmm. The last one, fats, and same thing for fats. You know, people became, you know, frightened by the word fat, and they think, you know, they should eat the less fat possible in order to lose weight. And that's wrong, you know. You need fats to function properly. You need the three nutrients, but fat is very important for your whole the whole functions, you know, vital functions of your body. So you need that. There's different types of fats, you know, that you have the monounsaturated fats, which would come mostly from nuts, avocados as well. But most nuts are monounsaturated fats. You have polyunsaturated fats. Those are very good fats, by the way. Those are the kind of fats that you want. Polys, you know, such as omega-3s, omega-6, can be found, you know, in salmon, for example. I'll talk about salmon earlier. Salmon is a very good food source of polyunsaturated fats. So those are the types that you want. Saturated fats, you know, and you know what? This one's on the bad list, but it's not as bad, you know, as we think. For example, egg yolks are mostly saturated fats. Although, like, it's not all bad. That's what I want to say. You can safely consume saturated fats. The problem is the overconsumption of saturated fats that can be dangerous and lead, you know, to bad cholesterol and stuff like that. However, there's nothing bad with, you know, limited intake of saturated fats. The fats that you want to avoid, on the other hand, are trans fats. Those are the ones. They come from, you know, vegetable oils and all these things. And you hear that a lot of fast food chains are now, you know, using different alternatives to fry their foods other than vegetable oil just because of those trans fats. Those trans fats are not going to be used for your body for anything. So those are the ones you want to avoid at all costs, all right? So mono, polyunsaturated fats, perfectly fine. Those are the fats you want to get. Again, you get them from sources like nuts. You get them from avocados. You can get them from, you can supplement as well with omega-3 or fish oils. You can get them from your foods as well, like foods like, sources like salmon. What else? Natural peanut butter, very, very good healthy fats source. Almond butter, almonds, well, any nuts for that matter. Or you can supplement with, you know, different fish oils, like I said. So different ways to get those essential macronutrients. But, I mean, there's some, as I, the examples I give you are pretty much the staples of the muscle building or fat loss, you know, diets. And those are the ones you should have, you know, in your fridge or your cupboards at any time.
Right, right, okay. That's really interesting. Now, let me ask you this, though. I know a lot of people out there are really looking to, you know, lose some fat, lose some weight. So with protein, can you get too much protein if fat loss is your goal? Like, can you go overboard with protein?
I can't say you can overboard with protein. Sometimes we overestimate our protein needs and underestimate our other nutrient needs.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you shouldn't go, like, I still go high protein, and I'm a big fan of a high protein diet. Like, I'm not going to lie, and that's my approach. For example, I can go as high as 50% in my diet, but I see guys, for example, or people going into fat loss modes, fat loss diets, and go as high as 80% protein in their diets.
Wow.
That's a bit too much. So I would say, you know, be still aware that you still need a fair amount of protein, but for example, a woman should shoot for about 20 grams of protein per meal. A man can safely, you know, go 40 grams of protein per meal. But again, that's very important, and protein is pretty much one of the, if not the most important nutrient, you know, when you're into a fitness lifestyle. So again, you have to be careful, but don't overestimate your needs for protein. You know, my comfort range for me is 40% of my caloric intake would come from proteins.
So you'd say that protein, I mean, fat loss is one thing, but muscle building is another. So you'd say that protein is one of the end-all and be-alls of building muscle. You do need to get adequate protein for that.
You need absolutely enough protein to build muscle. If you don't have any protein in your diet, you're not going to build the muscle you want. You're not going to get the results. And it's the same thing for fat loss. You know, if you don't have enough protein in your diet, you're going to start, you know, you're going to lose, actually. And a lot of people are afraid to lose muscle when they're on a fat loss diet, for example. But that thing, you know, this is the time when you should consume enough protein.
Mm-hmm.
But never go like, for example, when I'm going for fat loss, I'm going to add about 50%. That's my caloric intake is 50% from protein. And that's because, and I never lose any muscle, you know, when I'm dieting for bodybuilding show, for example. So I think, you know, you should still keep your protein very high, but there's nothing unsafe about, you know, a high protein diet. And that's what I want to say.
Right. Okay. Isn't there some hysteria out there about liver damage and that kind of thing from too much protein, though?
What did you say? Sorry.
I said, isn't there some hysteria out there about liver damage and that sort of thing from too much protein?
Yeah, there's a lot of unfounded, you know, myths about, you know, too much protein, like, you know, kidney failures and stuff like that. I mean, if you have kidney failure, of course you shouldn't go on a high protein. If you have kidney problems, you shouldn't go on a high protein diet. But for normally healthy human, there's nothing wrong with a high protein diet. So,
right.
You know, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of stuff that are said, but are never really backed up. And again, you shouldn't overstress about it. I think, you know, that the high protein, of course, don't go like, you know, a protein only diet. That's my point. But as
right.
long as you keep your, you know, pretty high, you know, but you still balance it with the other macronutrients that you need, it's completely safe.
Right. Okay. Now, what about consuming fat if fat loss is your goal? I mean, people think, you know, if they want to lose fat from their body, they need to lose fat from their diet. I wonder if you could share your thoughts on that particular strategy?
You need fats. Like, that's the thing. A lot of people, you know, don't realize, you know, that fats is vital for your body. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the oil. If that was, you know, if you take your body as a car, for example, if you would say your body is a car, the carbohydrates would be the fuel, okay? The protein would be the engine, but the fat would be the oil. And without the oil, what happens? Nothing can work properly. And that's the thing. Your body needs fats for healthy function, to function healthily. And a lot of people say, well, no, I shouldn't consume that because there's a lot of fat. Well, why? You know what I mean? Yes, it's calorie dense because there's not 1 gram, for example, 1 gram of fat is 9 calories. 1 gram of carbohydrates is 4 calories, and 1 gram of protein is 4 calories. So, of course, if you consume too much fat, you can end up being fat. But if you eat the proper amount of healthy fats, you're going to have a balanced diet, and that's actually going to enhance fat loss because your body is going to work properly. So it needs that. It needs that, you know, to work, you know, in an optimum way. So again, nothing wrong with fat. Just focus on the good fats and not the bad fats. But you need fats. Whether you're building muscle or burning fat, you need fat to burn fat.
Yeah, I mean, body fat and dietary fat aren't the same thing. They're just not the same
thing.
Not
at all.
So, you know, people
totally
do the word fat and they put them in the same category. It's not the same. I wish they would change the name of dietary fat so that people
would
not be so afraid of it.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You know, do you eat fat, it's going to go in your, you know, abdominal fat. Well, no, that doesn't work like that. Same word, but totally different things.
Yeah, totally. Okay, thanks for that. Thanks for dispelling that little myth there. Now, there's some diet plans out there that would have us believe that carbohydrates are evil, 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 and you should, like Atkins and whatnot, just stay away from carbs and, you know, you'll lose fat like mad. Can you talk to me a little bit about what carbs are important for? Like, why do we actually need carbs, and why is that diet strategy not such a great thing?
Well, as I told you, you know what, the carbs pretty much is the only that's the thing. The carbohydrates are the only micronutrient, in my opinion, you can live without. However, can you expect your body to function properly if there's one of the essential macronutrient missing? That's the point. So I'm always a big fan, you know, like, of balancing your macronutrients. However, you should never go with no carbs at all in your diet. Low carb diet work for fat loss. They work great. However, you should still get a, you know, good intake of carbs, mostly actually from fruits and vegetables. Those are great source of fibrous carbs. This is where I get most of my carbs, and complex carbs as well. I think the issue that people have is timing. Is how, you know, to manage the timing of your carbohydrate intake. What my personal, you know, from my personal experience and from what I saw on my clients, the best result you're going to get for both muscle building and fat loss is to have most of your carbohydrates from complex sources and mostly in the first part of the day. So most of your carbohydrates from during breakfast and, well, your first snack and your lunch. So, for example, you can get, you know, a bowl of oatmeal in the morning as carbohydrates. That's a very low GI complex source of carbohydrates. You can have, for example, a banana or an apple, you know, for your snack along with a source of protein, and, you know, some brown rice or sweet potato, for example, for lunch. But then as the day goes on, your metabolism slows down. So, and you don't need as much energy, and we become more than likely less active, you know, during the second part of the day. So this is where you need less carbs. But the fact that you eat complex carbohydrates and low GI carbohydrates on the first part of the day, it's going to be enough to give you a good flow of energy through the day. So this is where you should focus on, is still getting carbs, but really focus on the timing and when you consume your carbs. But you should, I'm not a big fan of keto. Keto is when you go no carbs at all.
Yeah.
You're going to lack a lot of nutrients in that way. So it's a lot of bodybuilders use that technique, you know, to burn a lot of fat in a short period of time. In my opinion, it's not very healthy, and I've seen actually as good, if not better, results with diets that include carbohydrates. Mm. So I would never take any carbohydrates out of any diets. There's always going to be carbohydrates in my meal plans.
Right. Okay. I'm glad you were sort of touching on the timing of well, you're talking about carbs specifically, but let's talk a little bit about the importance of meal timing now. Like, I know I read your quick start guide, and you talk a little bit about sort of eating very regularly. Can you talk about a little bit about that for us?
Yeah, the meal timing is very important. You know, like, it's a lot of people, you know, they get, well, most people get, you know, three meals a day. They get breakfast, they get lunch, they get dinner. However, you know, like, you still need to run your metabolism, you know, help. Always get smaller portions, but more frequent feeding. So pretty much I get, what I recommend is three main meals, like, well, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but then have three smaller meals in between. So get, you know, mid-morning snack, mid-afternoon snack, and a pre-bed snack, well, about an hour, 30 minutes before bed. And this is going to keep, you know, you're going to fuel your body through the day. You're not going to overeat. That's going to actually keep your metabolism running as long. So if I can give you a breakdown of, you know, typical day, that would be, for example, breakfast, 7 in the morning, get a good breakfast, you know, as I said, carbs, fats, protein, very complete breakfast. Around 10 in the morning, you can get a good snack. For example, a piece of fruit with a lean source of protein, that's a very good. Also, like, you know, incorporate some healthy fats in my mid-morning snack. Then for lunch, around maybe 12:30, you can get a bigger meal for lunch. So, again, good source of complex carbohydrates, lean protein, healthy fats there. Then I tend to cut the carbohydrates or limit my carbohydrates intake, you know, through the day. On the second half of the day. So mid-afternoon snack, I would get lean source of protein and some healthy fats. Same thing, you know, for lunch, I get a bigger meal. I get lean source of protein, but more, for example, more vegetables, for example. I still get a little bit of carbohydrates, but fibrous carbohydrates coming from veggies, for example. So I get, for example, a big salad with some chicken or some salmon, for example. And then I get slow digested protein at night, you know, mostly from, I love cottage cheese. That's my favorite pre-bed meal, and a little portion and healthy fats as well. That could be a good idea. So see, like, and this is where you should, you know, really break down every 2 to 3 hours, you know, have, feed yourself every 2 to 3 hours, I would say.
Right, right. Now, I'm really glad you brought up this eating before bed thing, because I know there's a lot of panic out there about, and a lot of people out there saying you shouldn't eat within 3 to 4 hours before bed. For me, that just doesn't work. I'm hungry, and I can't get to sleep if I'm hungry. I lay there thinking about what's in the fridge instead of sleeping. So for me, I have to eat before bed. You just mentioned you have a pre-bed snack. So can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, about why people think they shouldn't eat before bed?
Absolutely. That's something, you know, a lot of, that's a big misconception as well, you know, that you shouldn't eat before bed. I actually wrote an article on my blog a few weeks ago about it. But think about it. Let's say you finish dinner at 7, you know, 7 at night, 7 p.m., and you only eat the next morning at 7 a.m. That's like 12 hours mm-hmm. without feeding yourself. That's long. So, I mean, you shouldn't worry about it. Your body's still, you know, burn calories at night. Doing nothing, you still burn calories. So your body needs that to function. You know what I mean? And the thing you want to avoid, and you said that, you want to avoid cravings. Of course, mm-hmm. you know, if you stop eating at 6 or 7 and you don't eat anything, well, you're going to get some cravings. And this is where people can get, you know, foul of the wagon, is that they're craving some food. So they're going to turn into you know, cheat foods, or, you know, simple carbs or chips or, you know, fatty foods. So one of my favorite, as I said, favorite pre-bed, I never eat because I never eat too, like, about an hour, 30 minutes before bed. Just a matter of, you know, starting your, the food's going to start digesting and you're going to feel better rather than, you know, just eating and go to bed. Just a matter of comfort, personal comfort pretty much. But, you know, I like cottage cheese. That's a great, you know, if my opinion, the best pre-bed meal or snack. It's slow digested protein, casein protein. That is going to be released. You know, it's going to take a lot more time than any other protein to digest. So give a good more amino acids, you know, to your muscles through the night. So it's going to be digested slowly, and that's actually a good idea. What you can do as well is a lean source of protein with healthy fats. The fats are going to be reduce, you know, the absorption of protein, and that's going to feed your body, you know, longer through the night. So you're not going to go in catabolic mode, which means, you know, your body is going to start feeding from your muscles in order to get some fuel, and that's what you don't want. So again, any lean source of protein with healthy fats, for example. What I like to do, actually, it's a good, I like, as I said, I like cottage cheese. I know, Jackie, you're a big fan of the Reese's style cottage cheese.
I mix
very simple, chocolate, a little bit of chocolate protein powder. I think you can put some cocoa powder as well. You put a little bit of natural peanut butter, some cottage cheese. You can add a little bit of stevia with it. And that's a very great tasting. Actually, it tastes a little bit like Reese's buttercups, peanut buttercups.
Yeah.
But it's a very good alternative. Also, what I do is I do crepes. It's actually egg whites. I take egg whites. I do an egg white omelet. I mix egg whites with a little bit of protein powder, any flavor you want. I like vanilla. And you do kind of a crepe with it, kind of a pancake. And then you spread a little bit of natural peanut butter or almond butter on it, and it's a great, great, great pre-bed snack.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
So that's something you can't get right. It's very easy to do, and, I mean, you know, gives you enough protein and for the night, and that's perfect.
All right. Okay, cool. So now another, I think, question that people have is organic food. I know it's more expensive. Is it necessary? Is it absolutely necessary to get your best nutrition?
There's a lot of hype around it.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's a lot of people that think, you know, organic is absolutely better and they only praise by organic food. Well, I'm not one of them. I don't know about you, Jackie. I don't know what your opinion is on organic food, but there's sometimes, you know, like, and actually it's never been proven, you know, that non-organic foods are actually safer or more nutritious, you know, than organic foods. What I do like to buy organic food just to support my local farmers. The great thing about organic food, it's a great marketing feature, basically, to help to boost sales. All right. A lot of small producers now are producing organic foods because they can sell it for more. And I absolutely like to support my local farmers and my local, you know, producers. However, I don't, you know, there's no really huge benefits of getting organic. There's a lot of hype around it. Nothing bad. You got to be careful, though, with what you buy. But, I mean, sometimes, for example, take the example of carrots, you know. Is it a real difference between non-organic and organic carrots? Well, not really.
I think it might be about pesticides and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, pesticides. But, I mean, think like if you wash – everybody can wash their foods. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to wash their vegetables before. So pesticides, in my opinion, is not – a big issue here. A lot of people say fertilizers, but think about it. You know, a lot of people fertilize a little bit, want to put nitrogen, for example, to help to speed up, the production of vegetables. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a normal thing. It's just speeding up the process. Is it losing nutritional value? Not at all. It's just a matter of making your products grow faster, and that there's nothing wrong about it.
What about the whole thing with meat and steroid injection and feeding them soy and having them eat themselves in some cases?
Well, that's it. Yeah, you're absolutely right on that, because the thing is, on the nutritional point of view, there's no health concerns about eating, as a human, to eat like beef that has been fed corn, because that most of those big, big farm, like the major, how do they call that, the big, anyway, farms where they produce like most of the meat, they feed these animals corn, and beef is not made to eat corn. First of all, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but as a if you consume, there's no, like, the meat of that animal, there's no health problems that can be caused from it. It's more for me, I'd rather have an animal that was fed exactly what it was supposed to instead of, something that it doesn't really eat. So I'd rather, eat something like grass-fed beef, for example, for that matter, rather than a beef that has been fed corn. For me, it's kind of a nonsense. However, as far as the consumer goes, a lot of people, they get over-scared about it. And, you have to live with your time as well sometimes, Like, not everybody can afford grass-fed beef or have access to grass-fed beef and are just not going to eat beef at all just because they don't have access to it. I mean, that shouldn't be an excuse. I mean,
right.
You can safely eat that type of beef, even though, I would still promote, more. I would always, how can I say that? I would always say, yes, if you can get organic natural stuff, do it. However, it's not bad if you can't. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to die from it.
Okay, great. Good to know. All right, so move on to the actual cookbook in a minute. But just before we move on to that, nutritionally speaking, is there anything else that I may have forgotten to ask you that we absolutely need to know in order to start building our best body, nutritionally speaking?
Well, you can get, vitamins, minerals and stuff like that, and supplements, with a good multivitamin and stuff like that. I like to take a good multivitamin in the morning, so I'm sure I don't, lack of any vitamins or minerals. However, usually when your diet is really good, you have enough fruits, enough vegetables, and all your and your nutrition comes from all – the three main macronutrients, you shouldn't lack any, essential vitamins or minerals.
Right.
However, you can still get a good multivitamin in the morning. Nothing wrong with it. Actually, it's actually the best thing. If you get too much vitamins in you or minerals in your system, you're pretty much going to pee it.
It's eliminated anyway, right?
Exactly. It gets eliminated. So, sometimes a lot of people say, well, how come I pee bright yellow when I take multivitamin? Well, just because you have a little bit too much, so your body is just going to, reject it. But, other than that, as long as your diet is complete with, good source of protein, good lean source of protein, good sources of carbohydrates, good sources of healthy fats, and of fruits and vegetables, you're good to go. I mean, it's 90% of the work here, so.
Yeah, okay. Great. So let's just move on to the actual cookbook now. Why don't you tell us sort of what kinds of recipes we can expect to find in there?
Well, the main thing, the main purpose of that cookbook is provide quick and easy recipes, to people involved in general fitness, whether it's for muscle building or fat loss. So most of these recipes, you can adapt them to pretty much any muscle building meal plans or fat loss meal plans. They're all very easy to do. You've been through it, Jackie, you saw some of my recipes would take a little bit more preparation.
Yeah.
However, everybody can cook those. If I can do it, because I I mean, I'm not a cook. Like, I didn't go to culinary school or anything like that. I mean, I'm a self-made cook. And if I can do it, and I design these recipes myself, in my own kitchen. And if I can do it, and you can do it, you know what I mean? So again, they're very easy to do that. I kept that in mind. They're pretty much all high protein, or with a good. I would say high protein because it can scare off a lot of people. But I mean, if there's enough protein in each recipe that it could fit into your fitness lifestyle, again, whether it's muscle building or fat loss. So again, you're gonna find a lot of recipes, and again, they're very, very easy to do.
Right. Okay, great. Well, do you mind giving us a teaser? Like, can you just sort of recite one of the recipes that might be, that is in the book, and maybe we can just jot it down and try it?
I'm going to give you. Okay. I can give you the different names of the recipes I got in my book if you want. Like, there's a lot of different recipes. For example, I'm going to give you one recipe, actually, and that's actually one of these recipes. So, like, well, there's no way this one is going to taste good, but actually it does. It's my anabolic blueberry oatmeal. But to give you an idea of what you can get in my book as far as recipes.
Yeah.
Breakfast recipes, I get vanilla cream oatmeal, Reese's style oatmeal, Nanny's apple pie oats, sweet potato pancakes, high protein banana bread, various kinds of muffins. I actually got about five different types of high protein muffins you can put, like, that you can do, like, blueberry vanilla high protein muffin, apple and cinnamon muffins, omelet scrambles, Mexican breakfast scrambles, spinach scramble, broccoli frittata, turkey spinach omelet, for example. Those are great breakfast ideas. I get different chicken and poultry recipes. I get my very famous turkey meatloaf. That's one of my, if not my most famous recipe. Baked crispy chicken nuggets, Italian chicken parmesan, chicken marsala, chicken cacciatore, Mexican chicken, tangy Thai chicken. Anyway, southern fried chicken. It's not fried chicken, but it's called southern fried chicken. There's a twist to it. Different red meat, my muscle cooks chili, very, very good healthy chili. I get buffalo burger recipe, London broil, beef bombs. That's actually a pretty cool recipe with some bell peppers. I get different pork recipes as well. I get pulled pork recipe, different fish and seafood, tuna melt patties, salmon burgers, Creole tilapia, different tilapia recipes, baked oregano salmon, just to give you an idea, different salad soups and size options, almond chicken salad, for example. I got my crispy baked sweet potato. That's an awesome side. Different soups as well, and dips. I even got a guilt-free spinach dip. I know a lot of people love these spinach dips. I got a guilt-free spinach dip in my cookbook. Different snacks and bars recipes. My high-protein fudge bar is awesome. Pretty addicting bars, actually. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
I said Reese's-style cottage cheese, one of my most simple recipes, but very easy to do, very good. High-protein blueberry cookies, high-protein granola bars. And I got a few, actually, high-protein and fitness-friendly desserts like strawberry meringues, lemon cheesecake, for example. So, I mean, a lot of various recipes. You can go you can click. Actually, I think you're going to have a link for your customers here, and you can go check it out. I get them all listed on the website.
But just to give
you an idea of a simple recipe you can do. It's a breakfast recipe. It's a chameleon recipe because you can pretty much cook that at any time. It's a very complete recipe with good carbohydrates, good protein, good fats. It's what I call Dave's anabolic blueberry oatmeal. So for one serving, which is it's a serving. It's a 580 calorie serving. Again, a serving is a serving. Can eat half of it depending on your needs. But I'm going to give you a regular serving though. So you need 3/4 of a cup of oatmeal. Okay,
like, everybody's going to have a pencil written. Get a pencil, you guys, and write this down because Dave's going to share us a recipe. Okay, go for it.
All right, so 3/4 of a cup of oatmeal, okay? You need 8 egg whites. So I use liquid egg whites. Those are great. You can find them pretty much anywhere. If you live in Canada, you can find them at Costco. Well, Canada or U.S. can find them at Costco for very cheap. I put 1/2 scoop, all right, so that's 15 grams of chocolate protein powder, 2 teaspoons of pure cocoa powder, 1 teaspoon of Splenda or Stevia, 1 tablespoon of flax oil, 1 cup of frozen blueberries, and 1/4 cup of water. So basically, and that's, I'm not joking, Jackie, that's pretty much the recipe I do 5 times a week for breakfast.
Wow.
I love, and I've been doing this recipe, I mean, cooking this recipe for, I mean, years and years. And I still love it. So that's a good sign. So pretty much what you need is a big bowl that can go in the microwave. And it's very simple. You mix all the ingredients together except for the frozen blueberries. All right. So you just mix everything together, put it in the microwave for about 3 minutes. You know how it is, like sometimes microwaves are a little bit different, you know, mm-hmm. power. So I say 3 minutes to be safe. After 3 minutes, you take it out, you just stir the mix and put, it needs to be consistent, but not dry. Okay. It needs to be a little bit more, needs to be a little bit moist. And you just mix it, put it for an extra minute if you need. And then basically you add the frozen blueberries. When it's ready, you add the frozen blueberries to the mix. What it's going to do, it's going to cool down the mix, but also, you know, like it's going to defreeze the blueberries. And that makes it for a really, really good taste. So you mix everything together and you just enjoy it. I'm going to tell you, it's a pure pleasure.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome. I think I'll try that one tomorrow.
Oh, you should.
Go ahead.
No, you won't regret it.
No, I'm sure. One of the things that I find interesting, and I mean, I've been known to whip up a couple of crazy recipes myself in my day. Not a lot, because I'm not that experimental. For instance, the Reese's cottage cheese recipe is chocolate, peanut butter, and cottage cheese. If you were to tell somebody just about that, their reaction is almost always, "Oh, gross! That sounds terrible." But it really isn't. It tastes awesome. And so I'm just wondering, how did you come up with some of these combos? Because some of them, you know, you read it, and you think, oh, I don't know. But then, you know, you have to mix it up and cook it and try it before you can really judge.
Exactly. And some, like, I mean, seriously, like, for example, the oatmeal recipe I just gave you, that was when I was dieting. Actually, you know what? I designed, I would say, 80% of my recipes when I was dieting for bodybuilding shows.
Mm.
Because, you know, basic bodybuilding diet, you know, it's like, you know, 8 ounces of chicken with 2 cups of broccoli and 1 cup of brown rice. As boring as that. And I was like, there was no way I was eating that for 12 weeks. I was like, no way. So I just came up, you know, I got inventive and tried to play with my food a little bit. And I came up with these mix, like, you know, for example, the muffins recipe. I used to cook, like, huge batches of muffins, just experimenting with different flavors. But I just had all my major ingredients, you know, they're all the same base, but I was experimenting with different flavors and everything. And I came up with these mixes. I was like, wow, it's awesome. It tastes great. And same thing with cottage cheese. Like, you know, well, cottage cheese is kind of boring by itself. You know, let's add a little bit of protein powder to it. And one day I was like, well, maybe I'm going to add some peanut butter and, you know, add a little bit of Splenda or Stevia for as a sweetener. I was like, well, actually, it tastes actually like a little bit like Reese's. And so it's just a matter of I experimented a lot with my food. And I did most of my cooking, you know, when I needed to be very strict with my diet. So I needed to be kind of, you know, inventive with my recipes.
Yeah.
And this is where the passion all started, pretty much, when I was dieting for bodybuilding shows.
Yeah, I find some of my happiest mistakes are exactly that, mistakes or experimentations. It's like, well, this could use more protein, so I think I'll add this. And it might not taste good, but I'll eat it anyway. But then, you eat it, and it's like, oh, yeah, this actually tastes pretty good. I'm going to make this again. So
exactly.
I totally get it.
So I'm saving you the problem of experimenting here. I'm giving you like 200 recipes that have already been tested. I did the dirty work for you guys.
yeah, no kidding. It's like no experimentation involved on our end at all. All we have to do is get the thing and follow what you've done and reap the benefits, in my mind. So I see that you use protein and powder in quite a few of your recipes as well, and we've talked about the importance of protein. I'm just wondering if there's any kind of protein powder that you recommend, not brand name as much as just like whey-based or soy-based. Like, what do you recommend more?
I'm a big fan of whey protein. Just the bang for the buck is very good on whey protein. Soy protein is not bad, nothing wrong with soy protein. However, I prefer whey protein. It's a personal preference.
I guess it would depend, too, if somebody was a vegetarian or not as well, right?
You absolutely got it. So that's very different. And soy-based protein, there's nothing bad about it. The only thing, you know, about soy that I don't like is the genetically modified, you know, crops you got, and most of them are genetically modified crops that are available in the U.S. Or Canada, for example. So this is where, you know, I'm kind of hesitant about it, but there's nothing wrong really about it. And I covered it with, you know, organic food and so on. There's no health, you know, issues really with it. It's just a matter of, you know, they've been genetically modified. But again, it's a very good type of protein, but my personal preference is whey protein. I think it's the best bang for the buck you can get. And if I can, I'm not going to name any brands. Like, I got my favorite brands, but one indication for a good protein that you can look, because, you know, a protein powder is not only protein. There's different fillers and different stuff with it. But a good indicator, like 25 grams per scoop. A scoop is roughly 30 grams. Per scoop, you should have about 25 grams of protein, you know, 2 grams of less carbs, and 2 grams or less fats. If you have that makes it for a good quality protein.
Okay, great. That's a great tip. So when people are out there looking for their protein powder and looking, always look at your nutritional information, you guys, on any product that you buy, not just not just protein powder, but on anything.
No, exactly. You're right. And for example, like, a scoop, like, you have to look at it, because sometimes a scoop of protein is not going to give you the same amount of protein powder. So sometimes a scoop of 30 grams of protein powder is only going to give you really like 15 grams of protein. But most of the rest is like made of fillers and other stuff. So you got to be careful. So look for 25 grams of protein per scoop. That's a good indicator.
Right. Okay, cool. Okay, so now another thing that I noticed in your cookbook as well is that sometimes you use Splenda and sometimes you use stevia, and I myself am a little bit worried about the whole use of Splenda. I've heard some things about how that's made. If someone were to have the same sort of worries as I do, if you just subbed in stevia for any place that you've used Splenda, would that still make the recipe work pretty well?
Absolutely. However, some recipes you got to be careful, because like stevia doesn't cook like Splenda. Splenda, the cool thing about Splenda, I totally agree, it's an artificial sweetener, and that's not something you should consume heavily. However, a moderate intake of Splenda is not going to do anything bad for you. Actually, it has been used for years, you know, for diabetic people. It's an artificial product. That's the thing. You got to be careful about it, like not to over. It's like anything artificial. You should never over consume something that is artificial. However, in moderation, there's nothing bad about it. And the cool thing about Splenda is that you can cook a lot with Splenda. It's easy to cook with Splenda. But however, in most of my recipes, you can substitute. And actually, I write it down, you know, with both options, stevia and Splenda. You can actually substitute Splenda for stevia and so on, and vice versa. I mean, the cool thing about stevia is a natural product. You're going to hear, I mean, there's controversy about everything. You know, a lot of people say, well, no, I heard stevia wasn't good either. I mean, it's a natural product. It comes from a plant. It's a natural sweetener. So, again, it's very sweet. You don't need to use a whole lot to sweeten your food. For me, I always prefer stevia to Splenda whenever possible. But again, nothing bad with Splenda in moderation. But stevia, as you said, Jack, is a very, very good alternative, probably the best sweetener alternative to sugar that you can get on the market right now.
Great, great. Okay, so another thing that I also noticed with the cookbook is that the nutritional information is listed with every recipe, which I think is great. And this is where I get to sort of eat my words a little bit and apologize to you, because a few posts ago I did a video review of your book, and I somehow managed to miss the fact that each recipe does say how many servings the recipe makes. And I had mentioned that I saw the nutritional information, but that I was frustrated that it didn't say how much a serving was. Well, that's my apology to you, and I hope you'll forgive me that I was completely wrong, and it does have all the information that you need to every single recipe has the full nutritional information, as you know, all how much protein, how much carbs, how many calories, the whole thing's there, as well as how many servings the recipe makes. So I think that's an absolutely awesome thing about the book. There's just really no guessing about what you're consuming, you know, nutrient-wise. So I want to thank you for that and ask you again for your forgiveness for getting that
no
wrong.
No problem, Jack. You already apologized, like, you know, 2 days ago. So
I know. I've been groveling for days.
That's perfectly fine. No, actually, but I mean, it's the way you can see, if you have my cookbook, you're going to see I list everything by serving. So I'm going to say that recipe is going to make, I don't know, 4 servings, and I give you the nutritional information per serving.
Right.
I like to go by servings instead of weight, because sometimes, you know, the weight's going to be different, but the nutritional value is going to be there.
There's a lot of people out there who just don't want to weigh their food too, right? They just don't want to put their weight of food on a scale. So,
you know, exactly. And sometimes it can be a little bit different, a little bit of difference, you know, between how much you put in stuff. So I don't want to go with weight. I'd rather have servings. You have 4 servings. That means, you know, you can divide this recipe in 4 equal portions, and this is what you're going to get per serving. If you need one, you take only 1 serving. If you need half a serving, you know, you divide your recipe in 8 parts, and there you have it. So
right,
that's
exactly.
Actually
super
an
simple.
Easier, you know, way to calculate things.
Yeah.
But again, I'd rather go by servings. And all the recipes said on top, you have the title of the recipe, and then says makes X number of servings.
Right, right. So, yeah, so it's super, super simple to figure out, you guys, and it's just awesome. So, anyway, we should probably wrap up pretty soon, but just before we do that, why don't you tell us what other resources come when you order this cookbook? Like, you don't just get the cookbook. You get a bunch of other stuff, too.
No, that's a cool thing. I mean, anabolic cooking, and I want to say, is a digital product, so no physical products are being sent or anything like that. And why I did it that way is that because releasing, you know, a product like that, a physical book, costs a lot of money. And sometimes, you know, you don't get as much stuff as I had to offer, you know, with this product. So I went digitally, but I'm adding a lot of stuff to that product. So, of course, you get a cookbook. There's a little bit more than 200 recipes in it. Then you get a complete quick start guide. So the quick start guide, you know, I'm briefing you, you know, on the nutrient, on all the macronutrients, all the cooking and nutrition fundamentals, everything you should know, you know, before you get started.
Right.
There's a complete glossary, you know, about cooking terms. So you're not like, well, what's that? You know, what's a butterfly cut? You know, what's whatever cut you can think of, you know, it's all in there. Or cooking, you know, related words.
Yeah.
I'm showing you like grocery money saving tips, you know, different tactics, you know, to prepare your food and shop and so on. So a lot of stuff about nutrition, you know, it's a very, very easy and quick read, but a lot jam-packed with good, really good info. I also got some meal plans available for you for different, you know, calorie range. So it goes from anywhere between 1,200 to up, actually I got up to 5,000 calories. Meal plans. Those are sample meal plans. So basically, it's a template for you to see exactly how I divide my meals and how you can use my recipes, you know, on a daily basis. So you can actually have all your meals for the day cooking from my cookbook. You can also, you know, substitute with more simple alternatives. But that just to give you an idea of what to eat. Also got the calorie breakdowns of, you know, the food, how many, you know, protein, carbohydrates, and fats you should you should eat pretty much for that meal, and then you can substitute that with other food, so there's no problem. So those are very, very good sample meal plans that you can base yourself on.
They're really, really helpful,
help yourself,
I think.
With your own meal plans. Yeah, it's a good, because I give you, you know, all my old approach, you know, but I got lean muscle mass, you know, meal plans, and I got optimum fat loss. So basically those are meal plans if you want to gain muscles and meal plans if you want to lose body fat.
Right.
And then I give you, you know, a good template of what you should eat. And so that gives you a good idea of what you should eat and how I break down my nutrients through the day. You're going to see there's a differences between the two type of meal plans. And I also add a calorie calculator so you can, you know, see, again, it's not, a lot of people say, you know, it's exactly the number of calories I need. Everybody's different. We always need different amount of calories.
Right.
So that gives you a good estimate, you know, how many calories you should eat. It's a very easy, simple software. You just put, you know, your stats in it, and it gives you, you know, number of calories, number of protein, carbohydrates, and fats that you need, depending on your level of activity and so on. And for a limited time, I got actually four more bonuses, which are my Anabolicious post-workout shakes. So it's my 10 best post-workout shake recipes. Well, I mean, you get really, really good post-workout shakes. Banana bread shake recipe, strawberry cheesecake shake recipe. Actually, I gave them all funny names. There's the pineapple power shake, the ultimate chocolate lover's shake, the monster cinnamon roll shake, mean turtle shake, muscle berry blast shake, French vanilla bullock, ultimate peanut butter jelly shake, and Jack apple pie shake.
Wow.
So those are really, really cool recipes you can have post-workout. Those have, like, simple carbohydrates and everything you need for a good post-workout shake. I get a small report about supplements. You know, I talk about supplements, what supplements to use, what you should look for. And also I kind of, I'm unveiling, you know, what goes behind the curtains and all the BS that goes, you know, in the supplements industry and what you should know and what you should be aware of. So I give you my
called it. Part. You've named it the ugly truth about supplements, right? So
you gotta be careful. You know, sometimes I totally think that supplements are worth it, but not all supplements. And so I'm giving you an honest review about the supplements I like. And, you know, what you should be careful about supplements as well.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. And I give you actually a cooking log, a training log, and a food log as well that you can use, you know, to write down your nutrition, you know, what you eat during the day and so on, and your training as well. So I got printable sheets for that. So that's a pretty that's a little bonus I get for you. And I also include the unlimited updates for life. That means, you know, because it's the cool thing, it's a digital book. So anytime, you know, I modify something or I add new information or so, for example, like what I did, I designed some of my recipes with Splenda because at the time Stevia wasn't available on the market.
Yeah.
And now that Stevia is available and I think it's a healthier option, I actually modified some of my recipes with Stevia. So I update, you know, all the recipes that way. And everything I do that is modified or updated or added to the book or all the bonuses for that matter, you can have access to it. So that's the cool thing about it. So you're left out with an outdated product. So there you go. So that's what I'm offering right now.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff, too. Okay, you guys.
That's a lot of stuff. But I mean, I think that's a cool thing about digital products. Now we live in a digital area, so we should take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And I added pretty much everything. I think you need to get ready to be successful with your nutrition and your meal plans.
Right. Okay. So you guys, if you want to go and grab this, the easy quick link to get over there is my usual short link: gwnn.me/. Anabolic Cookbook. That'll take you straight over to Dave's page, and you'll be able to grab that and get all that other stuff that he just mentioned as well. So, again, that's GWNN, like girl with no name, .me, so GWNN.me/anabolic cookbook. So head over there now and grab it. And, Dave, I really want to thank you for your time, because we've been yapping now for quite some time, so I know it's really late where you are, and it's almost dinner time where I am, and you've made me very, very hungry. I think I need to go make something from your cookbook right away.
There you go.
Hungry. Yeah, for sure. So thank you again for your time. Really, really, really informative and really appreciated. And I know I speak for everybody who's listening in here now that this has been really, just really helpful and informative. And we thank you again for your time.
Well, you're very welcome, Jackie. It's been a pleasure. And again, thank you. I want to thank you as well for everything you do for people who need, you know, sound advice about fitness, about muscle building, about fat loss, and staying in shape and live a healthier lifestyle. And thank you very much for everything you do. That's very good.
Well, gee, thanks, Dave. I've never actually had anybody thank me on one of these interviews, so I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I eat that once in a while.
It makes you feel very, very good.
Help people. I mean, that's something. I always like, you know, when I get people, I receive emails, people thanking me or saying, you know, thank you, Dave, for what you do. You help me. You are helping me out. So thanks to you, Jackie, for everything you're doing.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thanks again. All right, you guys. Again, it's gwnn.me/anabolic cookbook. Head over there and grab it. And, Dave, I'll let you go because I know it's super late where you are. And thanks again. Have a great evening.
You're very welcome. Take care, Jackie.
Take care.